Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
29 days. Until the Astros take on the New York Yankees. Gerrit Cole probably on the mound. Framber Valdez probably on the mound for the Astros.
Still 21-year-old Juan Soto at the plate for the Yankees.
Great. Can't wait.
He did bomb, absolutely bomb, a home run in, I believe, his first spring training game.
Yeah, yeah,
It was like Oppo. And like, he is still Juan Soto. Huh?
Ohtani hit a tank yesterday, too. First Astros home run of spring training happened yesterday.
It did!
Pedro Leon!
Oh!
Maybe he will be competitive this year. I know. But the question for today, for our Astros countdown, 29 days until opening day. It's really throwing me off because it's February 28th. And I forget there's an extra day this year in February, so I keep thinking your math is wrong, but I'm going to trust you that it's correct, even though you said oftentimes you have to recount. But we have 29 days, so the question is this. How do you want to see the center field spot played out this year for the Houston Astros?
Well, I just disagree with the way that it's starting, because I believe that Mauricio Dubon, who is, as a super utility player, clearly awesome. He won a gold glove. He had a very good batting average during the postseason. He had a pretty good batting average until the last couple of weeks of the season during the regular season. I think that right now, based off of what he did last year, he's earned an everyday spot. And I get it. Spring training, we're going to learn a lot over the still-to-come weeks. We still have a month to go until the start of the regular season. But it feels like Dubon has been phased out of the possibility of being a starter. And okay, in the outfield, we're hearing that Yordan Alvarez is going to play a lot of left field. That means Chaz McCormick would play a lot of center field, and Kyle Tucker would be out there. But I just don't understand why Jake Myers would get an opportunity to go back into center field without having done anything of note in a while.
Yeah, it's weird that three different GMs, I guess, or two different GMs, two different managers, that they're all still kind of team Jake Myers in some way.
They left him off the ALCS roster, though. So you're right in that they are on him, but they weren't last year.
Yeah, they took him off.
After a while, but it took him a while to learn it. And he's been through some major injuries. And, I mean, we all would like to see him do well, obviously. But I constantly hear, well, he's got more potential. He's got more upside than Mauricio Dubon. Maybe. I guess from a physical perspective, sure, because Dubon's a smaller guy. Yeah. But we saw Dubon change his body entirely from one season to the next. He gained a ton of weight, and I thought, had a very good season. So the issue I have is not about a competition between Chaz McCormick and Mauricio Dubon and Jake Myers. Or between Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers. I think Chaz McCormick has earned an everyday spot in the outfield, but I also think Mauricio Dubon has, and I would like to see Yordan Alvarez play minimally in left field.
That, to me, is where the conversation, and we'll hear from Chaz in a second here, but that, to me, is part of my biggest issue with all of this, is that we saw the play last year where Yordan Alvarez is going out in left field, and somehow, on dirt and grass, it looks like he all of a sudden hits a patch of ice. And his knees and legs do things that don't look good for him at all. No. He gets hurt all the time.
We're so nervous every game.
Yes.
If there's anything that happens to Yordan, you're like, oh, God, is he going to be out?
Because he misses time. He misses so much time for odd injuries. Now, maybe some of this was just like the weird I think a lot of it goes back to the Dusty Baker in the postseason 2 years ago when Yordan's hand was hurting and Dusty then said both of his hands were hurting. And within minutes, Yordan Alvarez was meeting with Chandler Rome and McTaggart being like, no, dude, one of them is hurt, but I'm fine. It just, the whole Yordan Alvarez playing left field thing to me seems like a very, very bad idea.
It's something you do if there are injuries.
Yes.
Instead, what they're doing is Mauricio Dubon plays when there are injuries and when there are off days. And I don't like it. I don't like that.
Here is Chaz McCormick talking about the competition in center field this year.
If you don't keep up your work every single year, you'll get left behind. I mean, players will outwork you and younger players will get, because you're just getting older. You know?
Yeah.
You're just getting older. but no, you have to enjoy it. You know, because there's tons of competition every single year in camp. We have so many good young outfielders coming up throughout the minor leagues. And you just have to embrace that. You know, you're obviously friends with all of them, and it's wonderful. But at the same time, everybody wants your spot. And I just think you can't get that comfortable.
I like that mindset. I like the mindset that you can't get comfortable.
He's very positive there. And look, I mean, he dealt with a lot of BS last year, right? I mean, it seemed like he was getting dragged anonymously for his weight. It was that from Camp Dusty Baker. Not 100% sure, but sort of like where Dubon is now, I thought that McCormick, from what he did in the 2022 postseason, he deserved an everyday spot last year. And they tried to make it a competition in training camp or in spring training again. And it's one of those things where good for him for having that positive mindset, because if there's anyone that maybe had an issue with Dusty Baker last year, it was always hinted that Chaz might have, even though whenever any of them were asked about it publicly, they diffused it as best they could.
I mean, look, I'm not typically one to never to question Dusty's lineup count like every day. There were issues I had with it, but, and I don't want to over-exaggerate here too much. I honestly think that the fact that they wore those gold jerseys and they wore they got their rings for the first 2 days of the season last year, and the hero, one of the heroes of the World Series, was benched that whole series for Jake Myers, was one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen Dusty Baker do. Like, the fact that Jake Myers played both those games over Chaz McCormick is honestly a total joke.
I thought you were going to go on a tangent about how terrible the gold unis are, and you're speaking my language, but no, you're
also
right.
Yes.
That's a good point. He was awesome in the postseason.
That catch alone. Like,
it's so now, once again, he's competing against him, it seems, because I guess they're going to play Yordan Alvarez a lot in left field, and I just don't understand it. I hope that it resolves itself naturally. I'm sure that it will. It does feel like this is Jake's last chance.
100%.
Would have said the same thing last year, probably.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think what you said about him being left off the ALCS roster, and that to me felt like the ultimate tell that how they really felt about him. But then it's like, why did we do this song and dance all year with who's in center field and who's not in center field? It's so bizarre. Like, I would like a better left fielder than Chaz McCormick, but I would rather have Chaz in left than
Corey
Jake and Meyer. Do you think he makes the roster this year?
I don't know.
Because he feels like kind of what you said about JP France last year. We saw the best of Corey Jolks.
I think he still has some options left, so
yeah.
Like, probably not. Singleton's the interesting one as far as that goes, because he's out of them.
That was a fun story.
Was a fun one game with two home runs, and it was an awesome walk that he drew to set up Jose Altuve's home run. And it was almost an awesome walk that he drew during a critical spot. I believe it was game six or seven.
Like, he was right there.
He had a good at bat. Like, that was the right call to put him in. Dusty got crushed for that one. And I was like, no, Singleton was seeing the ball well that series. You had to leave him in. And that pitcher, what's his face, was pissing his pants, like throwing balls all over the place. Like a wild thing Vaughn.
Here's Chaz McCormick specifically talking about Jake Myers.
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, they should believe Jake and I. You know, we're going to have a great outfit out there. Obviously, you know, we're going to miss Uncle Mike. But, no, it's huge, you know, to have some confidence in the office and, you know that they believe in us and they support us. It's huge.
He's so tactful. I mean, look.
He really is.
I'd be
good teammate.
I'd be annoyed that this is happening again. I wouldn't blame him at all if his answer was a little more selfish. But, hey, look, that's the good part about this clubhouse. These guys do seem to keep any issues that they have with a manager or another player very private.
Yeah, except the Chaz stuff did seem a little more public last year. I don't know if it was Chaz. Like, obviously, Chandler Rome's stories that he was putting out there about Dusty Baker and Chaz's, you know, relationship and the dynamic there, all that was anonymously sourced. But it was hard not to read a lot of those stories and be like, okay, either Chaz himself or someone in Chaz McCormick's family is talking to Chandler and making it very clear that they are not happy with what is going on with Chaz and Dusty Baker. Because then that's when we started getting the, I love Chaz. He's not fat, but I bring him banana pudding and all that stuff. Because he called Chaz fat straight up last year, basically. Hey, it's just, are you going to miss Dusty?
I will. I will miss Papa, yeah.
Yeah, me too, because he's a content machine. I don't think Joe's spot is going to be the content factory that Dusty Baker was.
People got too mad at him last year, though.
I know they did.
It was over the top. Like, hey, the reason that the season ended had nothing to do with Dusty Baker. The reason the season ended is because, 5-9 couldn't hit, and the pitchers stunk last year.
Well, and the fact that, like, Jake Myers is back in a competition with Chaz McCormick, it's you can't blame Dusty.
Exactly.
On that.
See, that's the funny part, is, like, you got to be consistent, and why aren't we calling for Joe Espada to be fired 3 games in where they've scored, what, like, 1 run?
Is it Crane? Is Crane got a crush on Jake Myers? Do they golf together? Is that it? Is Crane golfing with Jake and Justin?
Jake Myers, Jock Jim Crane only dines with champions. So he's only a Verlander guy, you know?
And Jake's a champion. He wore the ugly gold jerseys. They really are the worst things they do in sports.
Everyone that buys them, I'm saying that there's no gold in your color scheme anymore. These were the throwback jerseys, and they were blue and gold. Cool.
I think it's one of the dumbest things that they do in baseball.
I think the first team I remember doing it is the Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
After they won, and they did that. And that works, because guess what? It's gold. The Royals. It works.
Yeah.
It works with their jersey. Like, even if you're going to add that to it's not previously existing in their color scheme, at least that works. Now it seems like every team does it. And it doesn't work for any of them.
Okay, here's my biggest issue with it is that they still use the orange.
Yes, if the gold replaced the orange, it would look so much better.
Yeah, like you could keep everything out, like keep it a blue numbers and letters.
No gold.
And then add the gold really want to.
No gold.
It's just all a marketing scheme. That's why the Astros sell so much merch, because they win
not
championships.
Anymore, now it's like. Basically,
oh, yeah, good luck selling merch this
year. $20 jerseys selling for $300.
Those things look like trash. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the player ones, honestly, they look worse than the ones you can get at Lids.
I'm bummed. I was going to buy a jersey, and now I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not even kidding. This was going to be the year where I buy, like, a newer
Chaz
jersey.
McCormick jersey.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's still got to be my guy, Jeremy Pena.
That's fair.
We're riding the Jeremy Pena train into this season. What are Jeremy Pena's MVP odds? I'm going to take them. MyBookie.ag, promo code
bet975. I bet you can get pretty good odds, Paul. All right, so once again, in the world of sports, there are a lot of things that we know, Paul. We know that, you know, sports are fun. We know that there's fights. And we know that LeBron James says and does dumb things. But so we'll talk about that. And who are the athletes that you hate the most? That's next year in Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
So LeBron James is in the news once again because he got a little cranky on social media. But before we get into that, let's go out to the HRMP listener line and talk to Gary. Gary, what's going on?
Yeah, I just want to talk about Curtis Whaley. It seems like he's been in the Astros farm system for 10 years. Is this the year he finally, they move him up? And you know, I read about those jerseys. They look like the ones that I got in Korea. Hopefully they don't mess with the State City ones. And Paul, my condolences about your friend.
Thanks, Gary.
I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate that.
I, Paul, it is, Forrest Whitley is not a real person. He injured his middle finger. It is inflamed. He will supposedly start throwing again next week. he has to make the opening day roster. I think he has to get cut. I don't think he has like the ability to play in the minors.
What was it that he tested positive for that saw him get suspended for the MLBPA substance abuse?
Yeah, it was one of those like steroids or PEDs that was like
Adderall.
It was like amphetamines.
Yeah, it was in something that he took that he didn't know that was in the medicine.
It's been a while. They're gonna look at him again. Try it. That might be the key.
Go ahead, man. Honestly, just
do whatever you want. The drug policies are dumb. Do roids, do whatever, greenies, whatever those things are. You know,
those things sounded crazy. Like it basically was like a super caffeine pill that was almost like cocaine.
Oh,
that's the way I've heard people talk about it. Does it sound like nope? It was somehow of a mix between having like way too much coffee and having a little bit of cocaine. It was somewhere in the middle of that.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, it feels like you'd be wired.
Apparently, they would put it in the coffee in MLB clubhouses. And so instead of caffeinated and decaf, it would be caffeinated and greenied. And so the greenied one would have a green handle for people that want to take it.
What's the point of decaf coffee, by the way?
That's a great question.
What's the point? Like, you little soft boy.
But like
people drink
your
caffeine.
But people like the... like.
Have your medicine.
Does anyone like? I like the flavor of coffee, so I would.
I drink it black. I love it.
Yeah, I'm drinking black coffee right now. But like, what's the point of decaf coffee?
I don't understand that. Is it like an O'Doul's where you're drinking a beer, but you don't want the alcohol in it?
Maybe it's like something where it's like a placebo effect thing, where just like tasting coffee wakes you up, but doesn't like jolt you.
It's
like
probably for the people
does.
Who have like a little bit of caffeine and then can't sleep for the whole night.
Yeah.
So they have to drink decaf coffee. Because have you ever seen anyone order decaf coffee and get caffeinated coffee? They freak out. They go full Karen most of the time.
No, I have not seen that.
Here's the Forrest Whitley story, by the way. This is back in 2017, so it's been a while. It's
caffeinated coffee.
He was taking an unknown stimulant. Why? Well, he was taking a long drive home, and he wanted to stay awake.
That
sounds nefarious, and good thing no one did further investigation.
I roughly remember that, where it was like he got it at a truck stop or something.
Could have gotten a five-hour energy.
Yeah, just that's totally illegal now, I guess.
Wait, five-hour energy
no,
is?
Just kidding.
Oh, I was about to say. Learning new things.
They try to ban everything else in baseball. What's next? Greenies?
They banned boner pills.
That's
the ones
up.
That you buy at the gas station. You can't. They said that if you take those, you could test positive for PEDs. I did a video back in 2019 for this.
Are we sure that's not what just happened to Forrest Whitley?
Well, I don't think you're taking boner pills to stay awake on a drive.
He bought it at a gas station. You never know. Maybe he bought the wrong thing.
They're right next to each other.
He's grabbed the wrong one.
It's crazy.
The one that has a gorilla on it.
You can buy a lot of things at a gas station. You used to be able to buy this stuff called Spice, which was an alternative to weed. This is the stuff that Chandler Jones took and stripped naked and ran to the Foxborough Police Department. I took it once because my friends were like, hey, we need to – well, it was legal. It was at a gas station. And he said, listen, you know, we're all looking for jobs. We got to stop smoking as much weed as we did because our house in college was essentially a hot box. Mm-hmm. So – I took it once, and I was curled up in the fetal position, and I said, never again.
My favorite part of it, I love the gas stations that have the slot machines. And
you got to be a special kind of degenerate.
And there's people just sitting there like a gas station. First of all, I don't really understand how it's legal in Texas. Like, I don't understand the rules of how that's allowed, but they're everywhere.
Yeah.
But, like, you are a special kind of person to be sitting at a gas station just, like, playing slots.
There's so many things, now that I think about it, at gas stations that you can only buy at gas. Like, where would you buy, like, chewing tobacco if it's not at a gas station?
Target.
You can get those at a grocery store,
CVS.
Right? Really? Yeah. Those are usually in the front of a grocery store.
Yeah, there's always
days.
the smokers.
Oh, yeah,
they're in there.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things.
How you doing with your addiction on that?
Pretty good. The Zen. I'm moving to Zen a little bit. So we're moving.
You're de-escalating.
We're de-escalating as the plan. We're going one by one, but we're doing pretty
good.
Would
Zens be legal in baseball?
I think they are because you don't spit. Because dip is illegal in baseball.
Which is,
they don't really like cover it. Like, they don't really like do anything about it. But
I was going to ask, do you think more people break the no dip policy or the steroid policy?
No dip policy.
That's a great question.
No dip policy. There's ways. There's got to be ways to hide it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I see guys with jaw in their mouth all the
time. Yeah. Well, Jose Abreu, every game. But like, and it's Tito not Francona. Supposed to be a lot of Minute Maid. Yeah, Terry Francona.
It's very nice to have plausible deniability of like being someone who speaks primarily Spanish. Like, I don't know what you're talking about here. You know?
Oh, that's what you call tobacco?
It's just Big League Chew. That's all it is.
Big League Chew.
We have a different word for it in Cuba.
Yeah. So LeBron James got all up in a tizzy on Twitter because Matt Miller from ESPN, not Matt Miller, he's the NFL guy, but their NBA analyst moved Bronny from their 2024 mock drafts to 2025 because he's averaging like 5 points a game. So, but then LeBron got all upset about it. The people were making a big deal about it. I think he deleted the tweet.
He did.
Since then, this does come off where, like this story, I forgot about this, where LeBron said that Bronny could play for the Grizzlies right now.
Right. LeBron randomly was watching games on League Pass and suggested that his son was better than the majority of players that he was seeing on League Pass. And this is one of those things where if you say that, he's got to live up to the impossibly lofty standards that you're now setting on him in addition to everybody else. How much would it have sucked to be Michael Jordan's kid playing basketball? And I think he played at Central Florida.
Yeah,
I don't know if he made it to the NBA, but it would suck to be the kid of the greatest athlete in a sport of his era. And that's where with LeBron, who I just think is very fake and hollow.
100%.
That's one of the things, many things that bothers me about him. There's always an element of hypocrisy when LeBron starts talking about things that have nothing to do with the basketball games he's playing
in. Yeah, I mean, like LeBron, even just the pressure putting that he put on him before this, about before the Grizzly stuff, saying that he's going to play in the NBA with his son. Dude, like your kid was projected to be a second round pick. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay. Like, yeah, maybe the Rockets would take. I mean, if Bronny comes out, I would take him in the 20s.
I wouldn't. I don't want LeBron to come here.
I would want LeBron for one final.
I never want LeBron to play for a team that I have to root for because I live here. Because
are you worried you're going to fall in love with LeBron?
No. I'm pretty sure I will get our media access from going to games banned. Like 100%. Because he would do stuff like that. He's very pro, suppressing free speech. I.e. Daryl Morey and his thoughts on Hong Kong and all the terrible things going on in China. Very funny that how silent Steve Kerr is about that issue and Greg Popovich is about that issue. But they're so smart, aren't they? Jesus.
They are my two least favorite people in the NBA that you just named.
Oh, really? More LeBron, so than LeBron.
And then LeBron would be third.
Hell yeah.
Honestly, Greg Popovich is number one. I think the way he treats people is stupid. It's like it's a tired bit. And I also think that bit only works when you're good.
Belichick learned that, yeah.
But like, it's the whole being as rude and condescending as he is when you suck as a coach because you don't have a bunch of Hall of Famers. Like, and then, yeah, that thing. The fact that he grabbed a microphone to tell people that's not who we are, like, what do you mean? Kawhi Leonard literally abandoned your franchise and blamed you for ruining his career. You should boo the hell out of that guy forever.
Yeah.
Like, people boo Correa. That's when people get upset that people boo Correa. I don't understand. Like, he's not an Astro anymore. Boo him all you want.
But in the case of Kawhi Leonard stopped playing basketball games.
Yeah.
Correa was the guy who stood the firmest in the pocket defending the Astros during the cheating scandal.
100%.
And I felt because of that and because of his postseason performance, I felt like with Correa, don't boo him when he comes back. You don't have to love him and cheer him.
They gave him the standing ovation and everything like that at the beginning. And I think a lot of times, like, you'll see that again this year when the Twins come here, that when he comes up to the plate the first time, people will be excited. And then it's like, okay, well, now you're the enemy. It's just kind of, it's part of sports. Like, once you're not on the team anymore, you're not on the team.
I don't know, though. I feel like it's different with George Springer versus Carlos Correa. I feel like there are some ex-Astros that Astros fans weirdly are not as enamored with as they probably should be. And sure. I think Correa is one of them. I always sense there's a little bit of a different feeling of sentiment towards Springer versus Correa. And maybe it's because of Correa's injuries and things like that.
Yeah, the massage and breaking a rib and... There were some people, like, I was not one of them that wanted to make a big deal about him proposing on the field. Like, They thought it was like a big, it was a me moment,
you know,
not a
team
moment.
I guess I learned that that's not a place to propose. I was like, that's so romantic.
I think that's a great idea.
This is the best moment of your life, and you're proposing. It's not the best moment of your life. You're not interrupting a marriage
but there were radio schmucks in this city who were like, well, what if they lost? Like, he should be focusing on the game.
I think a lot of people didn't like Carlos Correa, like, or a lot of Houston people didn't like Carlos Correa up until the
cheating scandal
where he was the vocal Cody Bellinger. If you don't know the facts,
yeah,
like until that, most people were down on Carlos Correa as far as the Houston Astros.
I mean, right. One of the greatest quotes in maybe Houston sports history. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely that. Up there.
He said something about, like, I'm a man of honor, Ken. Like, where he kept, like, addressing Ken Rosenthal, but looking straight in the camera.
I know. Who do you hate as much as you hate LeBron?
Peyton Manning.
Really? Why?
Because I grew up a Florida Gator fan, hated him there.
Okay.
And then I was a Patriots fan, so hated him with the Colts, too.
Okay.
And then with the Broncos.
Draymond Green, for sure. He sucks.
I used to like Draymond. It's been sad the last couple of years because I've even abandoned that ship.
I did enjoy his podcast clip that he put out about when he was just trashing Anthony Edwards for not trying in the All-Star game.
He will do a good podcast.
Yeah. Sean, who do you hate?
I've kind of like let go of all the like sports hate and stuff. Because, it's just like, I don't know. Like,
what is hate, man?
Well, am I going to hate Steph Curry because he beat my team every year?
A lot of people in Houston do.
Yeah, but
people
if
in Houston ruin his wife's restaurant.
Look at the way he chews his mouth guard. I'm big Orthodox.
Yeah, it's like it's something where for me, I can get up the hate for that playoff series or for that like moment, but like ultimately, like what am I? Like, now James Harden is gone, I'm still going to hate these guys.
I mean, let's be honest, though, Sean. You were too embarrassed to wear a James Harden jersey that you wore to troll me once when you went into a restaurant to go pick up some food.
Yeah. Oh, because it was a Brooklyn James Harden jersey.
Jim Edmonds. I hate
Jim Edmonds. That's a random one.
I hated Jim Edmonds. Mm. Of all the Cardinals players, he was the one I
didn't like Pujols. I didn't like Pujols.
Yeah, I would have figured Pujols would be your
I didn't
guy.
Like Molina.
Yeah. Yachty's annoying.
I will say, cheater. As a team, the Cardinals are like still one of my least favorite baseball teams.
They're the team
from
I hate
when the
most.
Astros were in the NL Central.
Yeah, I hate the Cardinals more than I hate anyone else.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than the Packers.
Really? More than the Packers?
Yeah, I just despise the Cardinals.
Okay. They do win a lot.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just deflated with the Bears.
I was going to say, the Packers, it's more like, I mean, no, it's like,
here's how it's going to go, okay? They're going to play on primetime this year. Caleb Williams and the Bears are going to get up early in the first half. Everyone's going to freak out. And then Jordan Love's going to lead a comeback in the second half, and I'm going to be miserable the next day.
And he's going to be on a ton of pain meds, and in the post-game press conference, he's going to have a weird Southern accent like Aaron Rodgers.
Who's your most hated team?
Most hated team. See, that's difficult for me these days.
Is it the Yankees?
It's probably the Yankees still.
Yeah,
but they were so bad last year. I feel like they don't matter anymore. It's going to take one series to perhaps get back into that line of thinking. In the NFL, it used to always be the Ravens and the Giants, but I kind of like the Ravens now.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants are like nobodies as well. So honestly, as far as teams go,
Titans.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah,
Sean.
They do suck.
I hate their fans. I think their fans are just morons.
That one guy who started like really becoming popular on Twitter this year.
Oh, the guy that
who just dropped the F-bomb. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a disgusting slob. That person is very representative of the hill folk of Tennessee, who are generally just morons that are in denial about Tennessee Volunteers no longer ever being capable of being good. And so they shifted their focus to the NFL. And that loser franchise has no idea how to, you know, take advantage of getting a one seed. How many quarterbacks have they had that they thought were good, like a Jake Locker, or Marcus Mariota, Yoda, only for me to tell them that, hey, they're not good. And then they would jump down my throats about it. And then they still are weirdly defensive about having the property rights to the Oilers uniforms. Why are you fighting this battle? Like, unless you want to have the nickname that you guys actually hated when you first had it when they moved to Nashville. Like, now all of a sudden you want these uniforms? You want to wear the clothes of your significant other's ex 20 years later?
I think they just know it triggers Texans fans, and that's why they like it now. I don't think they care at all.
That's probably true.
All right, we've got some, you know, there's always arrests in the NFL. We've got there was this weird story, you know, this last couple year. People getting arrested. This guy, he pled guilty to robbing banks. That's next on the 10-Minute Drill.
We're ready for some football, baby. Dad,
hush. Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-Minute Drill starts now.
Football time. All right, before we get to the 10-Minute Drill, on the Twitch, Risk says Adolis Garcia.
Yeah, he's definitely up there as far as sports figures Houston hates. He's got to be number one, I would imagine, right now.
Yeah, and then we got the same on the text line, and then also on the text line, someone just said Rangers, 2256 for team. I mean, that's the first team that really...
I hate being reminded that they won. You know what the worst part about going to Mexico, Joe, was? It's being at a table, and one of the people at our table was wearing an Astros hat, and seeing a guy wearing a Texas Rangers World Series hat, and he looked over, and he gave this cheeky grin, and I was like, oh, it's a good thing I didn't drink.
Ruined all my plans. I was going to go to watch the Cubs on opening day, but I don't want to be there when the Rangers get their rings on ring night. So I'm not going anymore.
You're not going to go at all?
I don't really want to. Like, first of all, it's way too expensive now because it's the first time that city of Arlington has actually accomplished anything in the last 2 decades. So I don't really, 3 decades, honestly. Like,
we'll go to the second game.
Yeah, I might. But, like, the Astros really spread it out, so I'm worried the Rangers are going to do
They're
going to
make
thing.
A meal out of it. Like, it's their first one.
Yeah, so I don't know.
They're going to be doing it until June. They're going to be giving away rings like the Astros do.
The Astros have gotten out of control with the ring night stuff.
Oh, I mean, every night. Astros and Space Cowboys.
Yeah, I was going to say, we went to a Space Cowboys game last year, and I got a Lance McCullers World Series ring.
BBW says Bryson DeChambeau.
I don't hate him as much as I think I used to. I think I dislike Patrick Reed more because he, one, is a terrible person, and two, he's fat.
I kind of like Patrick Reed.
You kind of like him?
Just because he gets everyone in golf just hates his guts, and that kind of makes me like him. Because he would steal stuff from his teammates in college, and it's not a good thing to do, but still pretty of victimless crime.
8665 Pistons of the late 80s, early 90s, Isaiah Thomas, Bill Laimbeer.
I watched that documentary, though, and kind of found myself liking them. But I felt the same way when I watched the Miami documentaries. I'm like, oh, they were kind of cool.
Yeah.
Mike Fiers says Junior Broncos.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz is a good one.
That's everyone hates
just
Utah
Just the Jazz.
Seattle hates the Jazz, too. That was an interesting one that Texas and Washington could shake hands on.
Really? Why? I guess because of
Sonics.
Supersonics back in the day, yeah.
Idiot.
someone agrees with you on the YouTube, Joe. I live in Illinois, and Cardinals fans are the most smug fans in sports for no reason. Do you not like the Cardinal way, Joe?
He doesn't like the best fans in baseball.
They're
That's
the best fans in baseball.
They suck. They're the worst. Like, because honestly, the reason why White Sox fans and Cardinals fans are the worst is because most of them are also Cubs fans. Like,
wait a second.
Yes. Like, when the Cubs are good, there's all of a sudden all of these bandwagon fans, and now they're all back to being Cardinals fans and
That's
White Sox
crazy.
Fans.
There are seriously people that
there
go back and forth between Cardinals and Cubs.
Cardinals
the
and Cubs
fans have been doing this for 5 years now. Yeah. They're showing up in Houston representing the Astros, and then now they're back to being Rangers fans, and they'll be back to being Astros fans this year when the Rangers fall apart.
Cardinals and Cubs is crazier to me. I at least get like, hey, because the White Sox and Cubs, it's like kind of a rivalry, but they never actually play each other.
Yeah, they're kind of like White Sox are irrelevant.
And so I get like, oh, well, I'll just root for like the city, whatever.
Yeah.
But like Cardinals and Cardinals Dude. Cubs is nasty.
That is disgusting. A friend of mine was rooting, he's an Astros fan, for the Rangers in the World Series.
I thought that, and like,
I hated that.
Cut him off.
Baytown Batty put that tweet out there.
Yeah,
root for the Rangers because they're from Texas. I know Salisbury, but that's my guy, so I don't call him out as much.
It was all the older people because so was the general. The general
did do that.
I remember it was a demographic like shift.
Like seriously, like state
we
pride
1836.
Like, United Texas can win again. It's so stupid. The World Series has been won in Texas since 2020. Every year, or it's been played in Texas since 2020. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't like that.
How do you root for
your rival?
Your rival.
Division rival.
Joe Kelly from 9563. Duh. Also a good one. I also feel like Joe Kelly and Mike Fiers are in a conversation of their own in terms of like Houston sports fans.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Mike Fiers is the biggest rat in the history of sports. Him and Jose Canseco.
He's done some other bad things, too.
That's very true. That's why he's disliked. That's why he ratted. It's because the players knew. I'm convinced.
Tell me about this arrest and this guilty plea, Joe.
So, Chiefsaholic, the guy who wore like the wolf mask thing, the Chiefs fan. Sorry, Robin Banks, he pled guilty.
Oh.
He can't go on the run anymore.
Do you think he's going to put in a request to go to a Chiefs game, or do you think he'll be granted the request?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's something that happens in prison.
Honestly, today, you may as well try. You never know what's going to happen. It's the true. Jails are overcrowded.
Hey, got to go for ring night. You know?
Yeah. Guys, can I get out for when the Chiefs play the Texans in opening night so I can go get a ring?
You're going to steal everybody's rings in the crowd.
Yeah, I feel like you don't want them there.
He just pulls out an assault rifle and just takes it by force. I don't know.
A lot of empty cars in the parking lot, huh?
Sean, do we have this Deion Dawkins audio?
Yes, we do.
Okay, I haven't heard this yet.
So Deion Dawkins is an offensive lineman for the Buffalo Bills, and he has some choice words to describe Jets defensive linemen.
Michael Clement. Yeah, bitch boy. bitch boy. You know, I'm going to just keep it a buck. I hate them. All of them, bro. They are all some, like, when it comes to sports, right, there's people that play the sport because they love the sport, and then there's people that play the sport just to try to be cool. I feel like they play the sport to try to be cool. Like, those are a bunch of dudes that just want to take pictures on Instagram. Like, that's whack. Like, I play this because I'll die by it.
They're playing for the gram, Joe.
Dude, Mecole Hardman crushed the Jets yesterday, too, if you didn't see it.
Everyone should crush the Jets. They're losers.
Yeah, I love that they're having to put these stories out about how the locker room and the culture, and like, it's Aaron. Aaron is the problem.
It's more than Aaron. It's Woody Johnson.
That's probably true, too.
It's been going on for years and years, regardless of talent, you know?
It's the existing culture and then willing to give that culture up to Aaron Rodgers. It's like the combination of like...
Like, you've got a bad culture and then you gave it to a person who's worse.
Yeah.
Also hate Aaron Rodgers.
And that I feel like went without saying. Also, it's funny, Deion Dawkins said like all this, that they do stuff for clout and stuff. He was on, like, a very popular, like, rapper YouTube interview show, DJ Vlad, shirtless. So he was also kind of, like, I had Sauce Gardner came back at him, and he was, like, ready to do a, he, like, took a shirtless picture. He's, like, ready to go do an interview now.
Sauce Gardner, tough week.
Yeah.
He got hacked.
He did.
Yeah.
Did pictures get shown?
He said that they're out there now.
Or is it just crypto stuff? Oh, no. Okay.
Like, they took over his Twitter, Facebook.
Honestly, he should have let them keep it. The guy needs to get off social media.
Honestly, like, it's not shocking. Sauce Gardner seems like the kind of person that just his Twitter password is just, I am Sauce.
Sauce Gardner 1.
Sauce the goat. And, like, it just feels like...
He's so weirdly, Joe, like, paranoid about his place. And as a corner atop the NFL, and like, there's no denying he's a good player, but the Jets are just me. And I mean, you made no coaching changes this year. You got Robert Saleh after all that dorky stuff about crows picking at necks and Hard Knocks. This guy's like asking people to turn over their phones to figure out who's leaking stuff from the building. Nathaniel Hackett, who stinks. He's awful. But Aaron Rodgers likes him, so that they got their own little mini fraternity. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. It was pretty, like, not because I'm wishing injury on somebody. I think it was very funny that the Jets season blew up.
In four plays?
The four play of the season. I laughed very hard at that. It was a fun day for me.
Lastly here, before we go to break, the Minnesota Vikings have hired Josh McCown to be their quarterback coach.
What could have been, Joe?
Remember when I can't believe he interviewed you three times for the head coaching position.
I want to say, Joe, that was like a couple of weeks before I got officially hired by ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to come back to do radio here. And I remember that night vividly because it seemed like Josh McCown was going to be the guy. And then all of a sudden it was Lovie Smith. And I still want to know who created the pushback to stop it.
Oh, I think it was the Brian Flores lawsuit.
It probably was related.
Because it was like Josh McCown, the reports start. It was really like Josh McCown's going to be the head coach of the Texans. It seemed very clear. Brian Flores sues the NFL, names the Texans in the lawsuit in some capacity, not a direct, you know, way in which he named the Dolphins or whoever it was. And then all of a sudden, Lovie Smith was the head coach the next day.
That's definitely plausible. I felt like someone decided that we're not going to do things the Jack Easterby way anymore.
Hopefully it was, I think, maybe it was Hannah.
I'm guessing it was Hannah McNair, but I think that's also sound reasoning because the NFL is very good at avoiding lawsuits.
Yeah. All right. Which team in the AFC will die? That's next.
You're listening to Gallant and George and some great music presented by RC Ranch.
The official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Apparently Gwen Stefani showed up last night. I saw that on the Twitter.
Still gets it.
Definitely.
Good musician.
Very, very good.
She understands talented. The skills.
Mm-hmm. Very necessary. Talented.
You know what's random? My dad's favorite musician for a time was Gwen Stefani, and he was obsessed with the song Holla Back Girl.
I think I know one.
I mean, I like that song too.
I just
helped you spell the word banana.
Fact. Is that all it did?
This bleep is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
So we put this question on here today after some quotes from the Dolphins players about how, you know, Emmanuel Ogba, you know, Xavier Howard, these guys are going to be gone. And somehow we turn this into the question of who's going to die in the AFC.
I saw this, Joe, and I look at the Dolphins, and I do wonder if the rising star that they were supposed to be in the AFC, because Mike McDaniel's offense is incredible.
Yeah.
It's explosive. Tua was finally healthy for the majority of the season. They still have Tyreek Hill. They have Jalen Waddle. They got, the running back.
Oh, Achane.
Devin Achane, exactly. I mean, they got so much speed.
For sure.
And defensively, they were good. But, I mean, their season end was, I mean, about as vintage Dolphins as it gets, where, like, it gets cold in those candy-ass uniforms. Mm-hmm. It used to be a thing with the Oilers, by the way. When it's cold, I don't know what it is about the candy-ass uniforms, but it's harder to win in them. And I'm wondering if they are the team from the playoffs this past season that isn't just going to miss them this coming year, but also maybe misses them for a couple of. This is maybe like the end of their little mini run that they've been having.
I mean, every year there's teams that make the playoffs and then miss it, you know, the following year. Sometimes it's injuries. You know, Cincinnati in 2022 was 12-4, and now they're obviously not in the playoffs. Jacksonville, you know, the Chargers, both those teams made it in 22. So you always have like three or four teams in each conference that, you know, make the playoffs and then miss the following year. I would absolutely have the Miami Dolphins at the top of my list of the team that's going to miss the playoffs because there's still so much talent. Them in Pittsburgh, I think, would be my top two.
Mm.
Like, I'm still a little bit undecided about, like, what I really think the Texans are going to do this year. I lean that they might miss it because of the schedule.
Yeah.
But I like the Astros theory.
What's that?
That they're going to surprise everyone in 2022 or 2023, like the Astros did in 2015. They will follow that by missing the playoffs.
2016.
They will follow that by winning the Super Bowl, okay, like the Astros did, World Series.
Well, who's going to be the Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers of that 2016?
So who's going to be the
rat? 2024 Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. Who's going to be the...
I don't, I, you know what? I don't like that theory. It feels like that means that like 5 years from now, we'll have some stupid Texans cheating scandal, and I will once again be covering a team that is being... witch hunted.
But then they'll win another Super Bowl at some point.
You would think so.
The trade-off is great. I would
it's
take
the perfect trade-off.
Yeah, I would take that cheating scandal all day, every day. Even though 2020 or 2000, yeah, early 2020 till this football season or until the Astros won the World Series was the most painful experience of my radio career because all we talked about was that pervert Deshaun Watson,
yeah,
sign stealing, and COVID. It was a brutal two, three years in sports radio in Houston. That's all we had.
Yeah.
That's all we had.
You're right about that. And luckily, we did have the Astros to get us through all of that.
But I think the Dolphins are... The Dolphins and the Steelers are probably the two teams that are most likely to
miss the playoffs.
You think the Texans are going to do it too?
I mean, look at their schedule.
I think they have to win the division.
Holy crap, their schedule is so difficult. They're playing good quarterbacks this season all of a sudden. And I mean, look, they struggled against the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last year. It seems like there's going to be a little bit of turnover on defense.
Yeah. I think the Texans probably have to win the division to make the playoffs in 2024 season.
Luckily, do you feel like the division's all that competitive?
No, I don't. I still think Jacksonville is, I think they're fraudulent.
I agree.
I'm probably going to go in on Doug Indy? Peterson as one of the first coaches fired this year. He feels like it's time for him to start getting the blame.
MyBookie.ag, promo code at 975.
So he's up there. Like, I don't really believe in them. I really don't believe in Anthony Richardson. And I think last year was.
You don't?
No. He was such a roller coaster in college that I just, like, you know, week one of his last year in college, he's a Heisman winner. The next week, he's awful against, I think, Utah, I think it was. I just am not sure he's going to be consistently good enough. He's going to be Justin Fields. So, like, people, like, idiots like me are going to buy in, and then, but the rest of the world is going to see the truth.
I think you're wishing another Midwestern team suffers what you've been suffering.
No, I just.
The Colts have had such luck with quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know. Good, John. That's a good one.
I liked what I saw from Richardson in that game against the Texans. I mean, obviously, two touchdown drives, his first two drives of the game. And I think the Colts did a hell of a job last season somehow cobbling together a year
great
where,
coach.
I mean, they played the Texans for the division the last game of the year, and it was close. I mean, it looked like the Texans were going to run away with that thing early on. But obviously, things changed as the way.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Texans' 2024 schedule and what they're going to be, you have obviously you play your division, and I think you go 4-2 in your division, like you're in a good spot. You know, you play multiple teams with top five picks or top 10 picks. You play the Bears, you play the Patriots. You're gonna play the Vikings, who probably don't have Kirk Cousins. There's pockets in the schedule where you can still make the playoffs. So I think that's why the Texans are not at the top of my list of teams that will make the playoffs.
I put Pittsburgh above. But Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, was competitive last season, and it looked like they were dead in the water.
They keep finding a way.
Right. The Dolphins, it just feels like, and it's not Mike McDaniel's fault. The defense, I feel like, is coming back to earth, and I think they'll still be an explosive offense. But
yeah.
I think this is like a 7-8 win team or something.
I have a different team that has not been brought up yet.
Hit me, baby.
Ooh.
I think it's controversial.
Ooh.
The Buffalo Bills. They have an old defense. They're going to have to, that already was. Already kind of suspect. They're going to have to get rid of some guys. Probably going to have to get rid of, or Gabe Davis is going to leave. Going to get rid of Stephon Diggs, probably. Or he's going to pout the whole time. I don't know which is worse. So, and you got to remember that Sean McDermott was fired. Sean McDermott was a fired coach. He just didn't know it yet when the 9/11 story came out.
Dan, people don't know about this. I heard that. Then he talked about the plight of Hamas and
that's still one of the craziest
stories. How they stuck together,
right.
The teamwork that they have shown.
He brought up Mao Zedong and the way that he handled, you know, all of the opposition in communist China, you know. He brought up Joseph Stalin.
Okay, how many guys are going to bring up here?
I haven't said Hitler yet.
I was waiting for Hitler. That's what I was waiting for.
Pause there.
I was like, I'm waiting for
that. I think he's too smart for that.
But look, they were 6-6 going into the bye week, and they won five straight games to overtake. I think the Bills is perfectly fine.
They told him about Fidel Castro.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, they fired Ken Dorsey and got a new offensive coordinator, and their offensive efficiency went down. They just won all their games.
And they beat Kansas City and then Dallas, and then they played the Chargers, the Patriots, the Dolphins.
And they had the same exact record as the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's really a case of the order in which you win or lose these games to carries a lot of weight for a lot of people. And it's just the Bills, like, I don't know. I'm out on the Bills.
There's a lot of things that have happened in history, though, that Sean McDermott can use to motivate the troops.
That's true.
Yeah, luckily a lot of tragedies have happened.
King Leopold in the Congo.
Yeah, yeah, I think.
I tell you,
what's your go-to? What's going to be your motivational speech?
When Sean and I
need one when we're having a bad day.
Stalingrad.
So listen, Stalingrad was a massive upset by the Russian army.
Yeah. Hey guys, I know the odds are against us, but
listen. I mean, Stalingrad won the war. People don't talk about that enough.
All right.
Do you want to give you more?
We're pivoting away from this.
I was curious how far you can go.
You gotta get me back on track.
You can go deep into history. Right?
Oh, I love history. History's my favorite. Yes. Yeah, I've watched those World War II documentaries on Netflix.
Have you watched the World War II in color yet?
I watched World War II in color. There's another one that just came out recently, and it's narrated by John Boyega, the guy that's from Star Wars.
And
I'm too distracted by his accent.
Oh, really?
Because it's a British accent, but I'm like, what kind of a British accent is this? It's very different sounding from most British accents I've heard.
World War II in color is on my to-do list. Maybe we'll do a book report on Monday.
Oh, I like that.
I'll watch it over the weekend.
Who's the breakout star of World War II?
Winners and losers of World War II.
Winners and losers, Monday at 2:15.
Who in the NFL Combine reminds you of Croatia in World War II?
Who are you buying? Who are you selling?
I'm selling Rafael Stone. Fire him. That's next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.